man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Welcome to the show, folks. Here we are on October 18th, 2019. I'm James Kelso, your host for the next 60 minutes. This is the Trump Phenomenon show. And thank you for joining us. You can call in at 800-313-9443 with your thoughts on the Trump Phenomenon, which we witnessed last night at the Air American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. I'm looking at the president's tweet of a panoramic shot of the crowd. My gosh, packed box seats, balcony seats, above the balcony seats, the Donald Trump mosh pit packed, wonderful, over 20,000 people in this arena. And the president, as he was speaking, mentioned 30,000 more outside. So that was fun last night. And he went on for, it was one of his longer speeches that he's given. And he went on for some time after we went off the air last night. And he came on before we went on the air. So a magnificent speech. And I'd love to hear your reactions on this. I'm looking at another picture the president put up on his Twitter account of the people lined up to get in. And there are so many people with red shirts, red hats. It's red, red, red. And they're in these lines. The only thing separating all these people from each other are just little, like, little ropes, you know, nothing really. There's nobody trying to cut in line. And it's going to mean, like, if you don't cut in line, it's going to mean for 30,000 people, you're not getting in. So would you see this kind of manners and decorum and dignity in any other crowd? Really? No, you wouldn't. They're just standing very, very, and there's no place to sit down. They're standing for hour upon hour upon hour. They haven't arranged for them to have chairs or anything. So these people are just standing, but they're happy to be there. They're happy that this man has appeared in their lives. And that's my experience at the crowd in, oh my God, look at the crowd. Look at the people lined up outside the arena. It's like a sea of people, all orderly, lined up, just organized. Nobody has to supervise them. You don't see any people supervising, no police or event staff. These people are patriots. They organize themselves. They're independent. And they're civilized. That's the way they were at the rally I went to in Duluth. Same phenomenon. Rally in Duluth, Minnesota. Fargo, North Dakota. Same phenomenon. It's been true at every single rally. These rallies are a phenomenon. Let's think for a moment, folks. It's so easy to miss the obvious. Did I give the date? I gave the date. Yes, I did. It's so easy to miss the obvious. Think for a moment, scratch your head and think, who else in the history of the world have you ever heard of who did something like what Donald Trump does in assembling crowds of more than 10,000 people at the snap of his fingers, anywhere he likes, as often as he likes, and crowds of this nature, as you heard last night at the American Airlines Center? Think of another person in the history of the world who could do this, who wasn't a dictator, by the way. That doesn't count. Somebody who can get people to assemble in a massive formation of marching in Beijing or Berlin or Moscow doesn't count. Because if you don't show up at the rally, you might not wake up in the morning. No, I mean people that freely assemble. There is no other person in history that I can think of. I'm a pretty astute student of history. I can't think of anyone who's ever done anything like this. So think how lucky we are. That's why I say to you, I urge you, please get to one of these rallies. It isn't going to happen again. In all likelihood, it has never happened before. That's the point I'm making now. This is new. I'm looking at this crowd now, and I'm remembering. You know, I almost went to the Trump rally in Minneapolis. That would have been a 6-hour drive for me. Just couldn't make it. But I'm sure hoping that Donald Trump comes back this way, especially to Fargo, which is adjacent to Moorhead, Minnesota. He very well may come here again because he intends to carry Minnesota. Let me get my caller board up here so I can see you when you arrive here in the Trump Phenomenon radio show. And let's go over here to look at some of the headlines. Something I'd like to throw on as a discussion point here to begin with. You may have seen a press conference given by Mick Mulvaney. And this was something to behold. Talk about observing the obvious when you see a Trump crowd, what he does. Mick Mulvaney facing the press in the White House. It was like a pack of hyenas or wild dogs. Savages, as the president referred to Pelosi and Schumer. They're savages. The whole press corps. And Mick Mulvaney, who's just a good person, not really experienced in handling dogs and hyenas. He was trying to field questions from these people, dozens of questions, all of them extremely hostile, extremely tricky, extremely deceptive, extremely dishonest. And you could see what each one of these slobbering hyenas was doing. They were trying to get Mick Mulvaney to say something they could then twist and contort into a little bit on their damn TV show. And guess what, folks? Those of us who are more experienced with dogs and hyenas could see Mulvaney getting, you know, worn down by these dogs biting at his ankles and his heels and his, you know, then going in for the neck. And Mick Mulvaney was wonderful. He slapped him down. He gored them. He stomped on him. He bit him. He handled them very, very well. Great, great. But he didn't quite fully get the game, the nasty strategy of these hyenas. These feral dogs. And the so he talked, you know, he tried to answer every question, and that was that turns out to have been something of a mistake. He tried to be conversational and to be friendly. That's also a mistake with these people. So it led to twisting of his words by all of the. Well, here's what we saw. The press, the president has it right. The press and the Democratic Party are, in fact, a team. Think about that. The entire press, including most of Fox, and all of the rest of the press, are a team with the communists of the Democrat Party. And they are not just a coordination or a collaboration. They are a team. They work in complete teamwork. And that's what you saw there. And Mulvaney was exasperated by it, but is not as adept as Donald Trump at handling He's not as good a dog handler as Donald Trump is. Anyway, so that happened, and you saw those headlines today on Mick Mulvaney. Oh, Mulvaney! Oh, here's the smoking god. Mulvaney says that we expected something, that we talked about something with a foreign government, that we actually want people to do things, and we actually engage in foreign policy. You know, folks, this is moronic. Of course, that's what foreign policy is. You're trying to get government A, government B, government C to do things. Yes, America gives out more foreign aid than all the rest of the world combined every year, the dumb suckers that we are. Donald Trump is the first president to try to rein it in, as he did with Ukraine, saying, why are we spending this money on these people? What the hell are they doing that's in the interest of America? And so on. Anyway, the Ukraine hoax, it's a complete... Well, okay, we've got to go back to the strong word. I mean, if I get into detail here and I explain, you know, try to cross the T's and dot the I's, it's bullshit. It's just bullshit. And anybody with half a brain sees it immediately. Look at that crowd of yapping hyenas. Utterly, every single person there spitting their hatred of Mick Mulvaney, their hatred and their obsession with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump made that point in Dallas last night. They're trying to overturn your vote in 2016. They're trying to overthrow Donald Trump. They're trying to overthrow you. They want to take your country away from you, which you dared to reclaim with your vote by some miracle. And I love, oh, Donald Trump, he said, is Robert Jeffers in the house here, the great evangelist preacher? And I think he was in the house. I'm not sure. Texas preacher Robert Jeffers. And the president had a great anecdote. I wish I had it queued up for you so you could hear the president saying it. He said, he got it. He said, Donald Trump may not know the Bible as well as some of us. He may not be the best Christian in the world. He said, but he's a leader, and we need him. And Robert Jeffers said a lot of other things even more powerful about Donald Trump. But it was great. It was a great moment last night, and the crowd loved it. And, of course, you loved it out there in the audience. Let's look at Breitbart and see what's going on here. We saw Tulsi Gabbard in the Demon Rat debate, which preceded the event last night. And it's wonderful, the war that's broken out between Tulsi Gabbard and Hillary Clinton and the DNC itself. She calls Hillary the queen of warmongers, the embodiment of corruption, and the personification of the rot of the Democratic Party. Wow. And dares Hillary Clinton to run. This is wonderful. Now, there's another Demon Rat debate coming up. I hope Tulsi Gabbard makes it into that debate. Let me look it up real quickly here. Let's see here. Let me search on it here. The Democrat, the presidential debates. There's a good page on it. Debates, Democrat, 2019. Let me just see what we see here. Find a page on this. See when the next debate is. Oh, where is it? Coming up, counting on a good search here. Here we go. And the next debate is, we heard Gabbard on October 15th. It's now November 20th. Time to be announced. It is, location is going to be somewhere likely in the metropolitan Atlanta area. So, boy, they're vague on this. The sponsor is MSNBC and the Washington Post. Moderators to be announced. So we don't know who's going to participate in the November 20th debate. That is in basically a month from now. But that, I wish it were more, I wish it were sooner, don't you? And when you go to December, they don't even have a date in December. And then they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more debates in January through April. So that would be January, February, March, April, 6 debates in 4 months. So, and those are all to be announced. Let's just hope Tulsi Gabbard makes it, because she really ripped into the perpetual war people among the demon rats. And it was wonderful, since she's a soldier, none of those other people are, it was wonderful to have the soldier ripping into the, as she's correct, the totally corrupt and rotten demon rats for their warmongering ways. Let's go to a caller here, Mike in Kentucky. Mike, what is on your mind, sir? Come in, Mike.
I'm here.
Yes, you're on the air. What do you want to share with us?
Well, a couple things, but a little preface. I used to watch this TV show called MASH. I'm sure you saw it.
One of the people in MASH, and let me try to remember here. Silly, because this is a personal friend, and I'm trying to remember names and so on. But I used to play as a kid with Danny and Paul Morgan, who are the children of Harry Morgan, who is, of course, one of the stars on MASH.
But I wish you would emulate his dialogue. You know, he would always have these creative terms instead of the sewer mouth. He would say things like horse hockey, or bull biscuits, or cow cookies, or something, you know, a little more creative. I think you might be losing some of your audience by going complete sewer mouth like that.
Well,
it just has to be used very sparingly, I think.
Mike, I hear you. I hear you. And it's a good thought. You don't need to elaborate on the thought. I want to get to all your ideas. That's a very valid point of view. And I take it very seriously, and I've thought about it. And here's the point man, the vanguard, stay in the military metaphor here, on this mission has been Donald Trump himself. He has used the word bullshit, fully spelled out, in 24 tweets and speeches, at least. And the man is a genius. He's a complete genius. And,
He also got ran down for the language he used at the Boy Scout Jamboree.
He hasn't been run down by anybody. Donald Trump.
You missed it then, because some of the language he used when he spoke to the Boy Scouts was, somewhat validly criticized. These guys are going by a code to keep themselves morally straight and all that, and they try to keep their language clean. You know,
Talking to an Order of the Arrow, Eagle Scout, Senior Patrol Leader. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But let me say this about the power of Donald Trump. This is a very good topic, Mike. I'm not slighting what you're saying at all. What you're advocating is 20 years ago, you would have been absolutely on the money, at some earlier era, some other America. That we have to get back to, and I would prefer a world like that. However, what Donald Trump has proven by his performance is that you've got to get Americans out of their old habits and to get them to realize that this is a red alert, you know, five alarm fire. His tough language has really helped. And I'll give you another example, and this is pretty graphic, okay? And this will violate the principle you're talking about, but the president did it. I'm following the president in this. I think the president's onto something. Just last week, we got a little break here. Stay there, Mike. Don't go anywhere, because you're asking a really good question. We'll be right back, folks.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John. Big
John. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being treated this way.
We're back, folks, and we're happy to have Mike in the great state of Kentucky with us. And Mike is bringing up a very valid question, which is, well, is really colorful language, it includes vulgarity, whatever we want to call it. Actually, when we say vulgarity, the kind of words that you might be living such a pure life, I don't know. But maybe you don't use the word bullshit in your life ever, at all. Maybe, do you at all, ever?
Like I was trying to make, you know, the point I was trying to make is a couple of guidelines for that is that, you know, it's just about like cayenne pepper. You want to be very sparingly with it, you know.
Okay, but do you sparingly
use the word? After a while, it loses its effectiveness.
Yes. Okay. I understand that. Mike, hang on. Don't get too elaborate on this. It's a simple question. So I take that to be a yes. Yes, you do use the word bullshit in your daily life. And you know
not
what?
My
here's
daily life. No, not my daily life. I like I said,
well,
I'll
your
try
weekly
to be more
life. Maybe your monthly life.
Monthly something.
Depends, all right. You are one of the. You are a pure soul. Okay. You are a saintly person, Mike.
The unbridled tongue gets you in trouble. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, we're already in trouble, so we don't need to worry about getting in trouble. And that's kind of the point that the president. Now, hang on. I'm going to play a little clip of the president for you.
Did we lose the feed?
I'm sorry? Okay, Mike may have lost the audio, but Mike, wherever you are out there in Kentucky, listen in to this, and I think this will help answer your question. And if you come back, please come back into the conversation. But here is the president in Lake Charles, Louisiana. A lot of very devout people there in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I know the area well. I used to live down there. A lot of evangelicals, a lot of people reading their Bibles, probably a lot of people in this audience carrying their Bibles. And so a lot of people who have all kinds of teachings against using strong language. But now I want to hear you, want you to hear that crowd. This is not a crowd of ruffians here. This is not a crowd in a bar. Okay. This is tens of thousands of people, not quite that many at the Lake Charles rally, which is, was in an arena. It would only hold about 10,000 people only. But it's a huge crowd, as big as has ever assembled in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And there are so listen to what I want you. Here's what I want you to listen to, Mike. I want you to listen to the words of the president. Then maybe more importantly, listen to the crowd's reaction to Donald Trump's use of language. Listen to their reaction. Listen to a crowd going wild nonstop. They're so loud. The president has to walk away from the microphone and let them roar. And they're roaring at the use of one word. Here it comes. And he's done it over and over again.
The radical Democrats' policies are crazy. Their politicians are corrupt. Their candidates are terrible. And they know they can't win an election day. So they're pursuing an illegal, invalid, and unconstitutional bullshit impeachment.
Now listen, the crowd's going ape. Every person's waving their hands. He has to stop speaking. They won't stop. That word. So that's why I do what I do, Mike. Because the president, what he is, it's real clear and easy to see what he's done there. That was an emotional release you heard from that crowd of people just like you, Mike, just like me, just like everybody else in our audience. We have to have, somebody had to unchain us. Somebody had to set us free. Somebody had to take off the shackles of what would you call it? You know, Mr. Nice Guy? No more Mr. Nice Guy. No, because this isn't, Mr. Nice Guy doesn't work anymore. It doesn't fit here. Being polite, we're not in church. We're in a war. How many wars are conducted the way you would conduct yourself in the pew in a church? And that's what Robert Jeffers was indicating when he said he may not be the best Christian. He may not know the Bible as well as some of the rest of us, but he's, man, he's a leader. And we're in a war. And as, General MacArthur said, in war, there is no substitute for victory. Because what is the substitute? Defeat. And that means defeat for Christians. Defeat for Robert Jeffers. Defeat for all of the evangelicals. Defeat for all of us. We have to have a leader who can win. And that means one who can fight. Now, he can't open up with a howitzer from the podium there. So his fight has to be verbal. And that's what he's doing right there. He's engaged in combat. And he's taking on the demon rats. The demon rats have been using, you know, ripe language for our entire lives. And we've been sitting with our hands folded in our lap, being polite. Didn't work. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Big John, Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Definitely.
Big John.
Definitely don't give any lip to Big John. Big bad Donald John Trump, that
Big
is. Although, you know, interestingly, I'm actually kind of talking up... actually, I'm going up the wrong tree there, because Donald Trump is actually a very nice guy. He's not a tough guy. In fact, that's what he told the Turkish dictator Erdogan. He said to him, don't be a fool. Don't be a tough guy. Donald Trump is not a tough guy. And he is a completely a gentleman. Everybody who, if you read about him, everybody who really knows the man says that he is a complete gentleman. Women say so, the men say so, the business associates, the employees, they all say so. It's true, in other words. So I don't want to make him sound like he's Mr. Tough Guy. Mike in Kentucky is back on the phone with us. So, Mike, did you hear that clip of the president at Lake Charles?
Yeah, and I appreciate that sentiment, because that's what I was getting at, is I'm looking for sources. Because people are still passing some of this stuff around, different diagrams and stuff that are hot clickable.
Well, let me give you another one. I want to give you another one. Hang on, Mike. I want to give you another one.
Right,
I'm trying to cut you off. And I know you've got a point you want to get to, so we're going to let you get to that point. But I like your first topic there, which is, you know, pungent speech. Okay. Yeah. No,
yep.
I like. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you Jackson, you triggered me. You triggered me, Mike. So here
you
we go.
Snowflake.
Yeah. So here's one. Now, a very famous evangelist right there in Dallas. Remember, the president was in Dallas last night. And the head of the biggest Dallas church there is Robert Jeffers. The campus that he just built there, they raised $130 million for that Dallas Evangelical Center. Robert Jeffers has been on the campaign trail for Donald Trump, and listen to what he said. And he's very aware that Donald Trump uses strong language. He says may not fit with Sunday school. He says for the 2016 U.S. presidential election, Jeffers endorsed and appeared at rallies for the Republican candidate Donald Trump, although he initially endorsed Ben Carson. Jeffers also declared that Christians who would not vote for or support Trump as the Republican nominee were fools, that's his word, and motivated by pride rather than principle. Jeffers also stated, now here's, this goes to your point, Mike, which I respect. Jeffers also stated that if a candidate ran on the principles found in the Sermon on the Mount in dealing with foreign enemies of the United States, such as ISIS, Iran, or North Korea, Jeffers, quote, would run from that candidate as far as possible and would still vote for Trump. On June 21st, 2016, candidate Trump named Robert Jeffers as a member of his Evangelical Advisory Board and White House Faith Initiative. He says, let's see here. And then Jeffers was even talking about people saying, well, what about the president's sex life? You know, the poor man, Donald Trump, has been so beaten up, more abused than any political candidate in the history of the world. So, you know, he's not even allowed to have a private life. So Jeffers addressed that, but, you know, the media, the commie rats of the media going on about every girlfriend or woman that he may or may not have seen in his life. You know, what person can withstand in a savage assault like that? And here's what Jeffers said, quote, even if it's proven to be true, it doesn't matter. And then he said, Jeffers, here's another quote, in September of 2019. So here's a really recent quote. I have never seen the evangelical Christians more angry over any issue than this attempt to illegitimately remove this president. Remember what he just referred to, a bullshit impeachment. That's Trump's words, not Robert Jeffers. Overturn the 2016 election and negate the votes of millions of evangelicals in the process. They know. The only impeachable offense that President Trump has committed was beating Hillary Clinton in 2016. That's the unpardonable sin for which the Democrats will never forgive him. Now get this. Here's from a preacher. If the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, now listen closely, this is a preacher, it will cause a civil war in this nation from which our country will never heal. Wow. Them strong words. I know you agree, Mike.
Well, the things that led up to the war between the states last time was the unstabilizing of the status quo parties, and of course the founders didn't want political parties, but yeah, the that's where Lincoln came out of, was a newly reformed Republican Party, and the previous two parties fell apart.
And well, remember, of course, your history is good, but there's absolutely no parallel between the war between the states
the
situation.
Party is financially imploding. The Democratic Party is financially imploding. They're desperate. Yeah. I think desperate
but
people
now,
do desperate things.
Now, and I apologize for talking so long on your first good point, with which I disagree respectfully. Now you had another thought. What else did you want to launch into?
I'm looking for callers and other sources to critically take down some of these things. Like, of course, you try to post a source for the Senate last May. Apparently, some Democratic senators sent letters to the Ukraine, urging them to investigate Trump, the exact same thing that the alleged official impeachment, which it's not official, because the Republicans don't have any subpoena power right now. So it's very lopsided, BS, whatever you want to say, alleged impeachment inquiry. And the dang Democratic senators apparently did the same thing the opposite direction. They tried to get Ukraine to investigate Trump.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mike, you're all over this. And of course, we all know this from our lives. And this is boiling down. This whole thing that you and I and all the rest of us are, we're in the middle of it right now. This is a war, nothing less, between what? Between good and evil. It is that powerful. This is not a political contest. This is not a, you know, a debate over, you know, ideas. The other side in this war that you're in and we're in, Mike, is evil. It is actual evil. And Donald Trump is the champion of goodness, of good. He is a very good man. And Robert Jeffers, Jerry Falwell Jr., Franklin Graham, these great religious leaders who are all about character, they recognize this in Donald Trump. They've all endorsed him. They've endorsed him with their Jerry Falwell Jr. put Donald Trump in his commencement meeting there at Liberty University with the entire student body there, 100,000 alumni of Liberty University. He put the entire, and this is before Jerry Falwell Jr. did this at great risk, because the Johnson rule, which lifted the tax exemption. Can you imagine if Liberty University were to lose its tax exemption? Jerry Falwell Jr. was risking that when he endorsed Donald Trump and put him up in front of his entire student body, because the Johnson rule, put in by an evil man, no question, Lyndon Johnson was an evil killer, and he's a quintessential Democrat, that the Johnson rule said that any preacher, if you preach politics from the podium, from the pulpit, you can lose your IRS tax exemption for your church. And that has silenced preachers ever since. I think that went into effect way back in the 1970s, maybe 80s. It goes way back. It has silenced preachers. One man with one stroke of his pen took that Johnson rule and tossed it in the trash can, freeing preachers. And before he had done that, Jerry Falwell Jr. risked his tax-exempt status to endorse Donald Trump. Oh, Donald Trump was the man who, by executive order, canceled the Johnson rule. Which, and by the way, this had gone on for decades. Nobody in our government, no political candidates, nobody in the Republican Party, nobody. And again, I know I'm going to use a strong word here, but it conveys the importance of what we're talking about. Courage. No one had the courage to do this. Okay, yeah.
Well, let's give some credit.
No one had the balls. No one had the balls to do it. That's what Donald Trump has. He doesn't have courage. He has something more than that. Some of these...
We need to give some...
Yeah, go ahead.
Give some credit to the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. They started fighting this back in the 1980s, and they refused to be unpaid tax collectors for the government. W didn't do anything. Clinton didn't do anything. The fines and fees got up to equal the amount of the real estate, and they came in and seized the church. And if you notice, things have went a little sideways since the first church ever seized for tax bill.
Oh, my goodness.
That happened before September 11th.
See, Mike, you ought to have a radio show. You know more about this than I do. I did not know about all of that. That's incredibly – see, and because all of us get our news through the filtered, controlled media almost, we don't – that's an amazing story. I hadn't even heard of it. You're all over this, Mike.
IBT, look it up, Indianapolis Baptist Temple. And they start, you know, to who gets the benefit, you owe the benefactor, and that's what that marionette string does to these 501c3 corporations, is it keeps them under the thumb of the government. It's really – not much different than China. China licenses their churches, so it's in effect, it's a license for your church.
Absolutely.
So they always threaten that, you know. So, and the fear is, I'm sure, for Liberty University that they wouldn't get any donations. But a lot of universities set up a foundation, state or not, and some of these foundations are very, very lucrative. They got a lot of money. Kentucky's universities are relatively poor. But, you know, some of these big huge foundations at whatever, Ivy-covered, you know, North Korea's, as I have heard them called, you know, Ivy League schools and the big schools in California. They've got probably billions socked away in their foundation.
Yeah, and let me name that church again, the Indianapolis Baptist Temple.
Yeah, IBT. You can look that up.
Okay. I followed this Johnson rule and the it was Donald Trump, and this is Jefferson has said it, Falwell has said it, Graham has said it, and a whole bunch of others. I mean, hundreds of evangelical leaders. What evangelical leader has endorsed any demon rat? None of them. And they all recognize that this is more than, it's not a political battle. This is a moral, spiritual war for the future of our whole civilization, for our future generations. More than just, who cares about you, Mike, or me, Kelso? You know, this is much bigger than that. This is about all of our descendants and their what kind of a future they're going to have. And so these religious leaders, that's why Jeffers said, this is a war, and a president who follows every letter of the Sermon on the Mount is not going to be able to lead that war. And but Donald Trump comes as close as we're going to get. Well, Mike, thank you very much, buddy.
All righty. You're welcome.
Thank you. That was a great call. Like I say, Mike knows more about it than I do. If you want to call in, 800-313-9443. That's one of the things that's been fun about doing this show all these years. I learn so much every night when I do this show. Let's go over here. Let's go look at Donald Trump's tweets. That's probably what Robert Jeffers is doing right now. And Jerry Falwell Jr. and Franklin Graham, that's probably what they do. They're like me. He's got some, here's a tweet 18 minutes ago. Don't you love it? 18 minutes ago. So the president was typing this tweet while Mike and I were talking. He says, the president tweets, "I really enjoy listening to Mike and Kelso talking on the radio." No, he doesn't say that. I'm just having fun with you, folks. Here's what the president did tweet 18 minutes ago. Corrupt Congressman Adam Schiff is angry that ambassadors that he thought would be good for his fraudulent witch hunt are turning out to be good for me. Some really good. He's got all meetings locked down. No transparency, only his illegal leaks. A very dishonest, and then he uses the term, sleazebag. That's kind of a safer word, Mike would agree. He's a sleazebag. But I'm going to give you another ripe word again, folks. And I apologize for it, but this, I'm just following the lead of our president. And I'm not going to leave him behind. You know, if the president moves forward with the vanguard and he's advancing towards the enemy line, I'm going to at least stay at his shoulder. I'm not going to let him get ahead of me, you know, and stay back in the trenches. He's out there charging at the enemy. I don't want him to get, I don't want him to be the only target the enemy has. I'm going to be out there with my commander. In fact, I don't really want him to be out in front of me. How many soldiers have thought that about a great leader, Patton or Robert E. Lee or any other great leader? You know, they didn't want him to be a Stonewall Jackson out there scouting out in front of the lines, you know, cost him his life. General Jackson, please get back a couple hundred yards. And, well, so I want to get out there with Donald Trump. So I'm not going to let him have to be the only guy that uses strong language. So this is the president. He called Adam Schiff a sleazebag. All right. The president did a critique of Ed Henry, who's a dope. He's one of these dopes on Fox who is a secret neocon. He's a guy who's looking past Donald Trump. He's wondering what his career will be like after Donald Trump gets defeated in 2020. He hopes. So Donald Trump retweeted a guy who said this about Ed Henry. And Ed Henry had just given a real patriot, Mike Levin, a great patriot, Mike Levin, with a great show on Fox. He was giving Mike Levin grief over and over again. He was this Ed Henry guy pretending to do an interview, was saying, you know, Donald Trump was, what was he doing? He was trying to dig up dirt. He kept using that phrase, dig up dirt on Joe Biden. But he wasn't doing that. He never did that. He had a great conversation with the president of Ukraine, Zelensky. There was no digging up dirt. That's the demon rat talking point. So Mike Levin got disgusted with it and said, your question is a lying question. And here's what Trump retweeted. A guy said, Ed Henry, I know this is going to be strong language, folks, but this is the president saying this about Ed Henry, is a lying shithead. whoa, hey, everybody just woke up. That's the president's tweet. And the thing is, we needed something to snap us out of the coma, folks. We've been comatose for our whole lives. We've been giving away our country for our whole lives. And we can blame bad actors. You know, we can blame various people. Say, oh, they did it to us. No, we let it happen. Nobody did anything to us, folks. We, the patriots, let this abomination happen to our nation. We let it happen to our towns. We let it happen to our schools. We let it happen to our media. Why did we give our media away to lying shitheads? We did that. We pay for it. We tune it in. We sponsor it. We buy their crap. We did it to ourselves. That's the best reproach to take. And that's the one Donald Trump has taken. And what's good about saying we did it to ourselves instead of blaming this group or that guy or these people or this secret society? They didn't do it to us. We were asleep at the wheel. We're guilty. And Donald Trump recognizes that. What's good about that approach is this. It's the Trump phenomenon. If you recognize that you screwed up, guess what? Guess what the blessing of that is? It means you can fix it. It means that somebody else is not in charge of your life. You're not a victim. If you were the one who was asleep at the wheel, wake up and take control of your life. And that's exactly what we did on November 8th, 2016. We woke up, we took control of our lives. Step one, anyway. We got a lot of steps more to go. Now, let's see here. So that was the president 18 minutes ago. Here's another great tweet from the president 2 hours ago. Of course, you'll notice the demon rats are all, you know, going on and on. Oh, Donald Trump abandoned the Kurds. The Kurds are our friends. The Kurds are our friends? Okay, we'll talk about that some other time. Oh, my gosh, the president is a traitor. He's abandoning you. Oh, it's terrible. Millions of people are going to die. Babies, women, everybody's being raped and tortured. Okay. What's the truth? The truth is this great man, the president, who doesn't want to have to console a single mother as her son is offloaded off of a plane at Andrews Air Force Base. Not one single death, not one single American life. He has saved the lives of millions of people in the Middle East. His interest is saving the lives of Americans. But in the process of doing that, this great humanitarian, Donald Trump, this generous heart, he is saving the lives of millions in the Middle East who were killed by who? George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, all of these people, these warmongers, people like John McCain and Mitt Romney. People that never saw a war they didn't love. Millions. And the president made that point in Minnesota. He made the point in Lake Charles. And he made it last night in Dallas. He said, I've saved thousands of American lives. But he said, think about it. I've saved millions. What about the other people that are Americans? I've saved millions of their lives. And so here's his tweet on that subject. Let's listen to the president. 2 hours ago, he said this. Think of how many lives we saved in Syria and Turkey by getting a ceasefire yesterday. Thousands and thousands and maybe many more. That's right, folks. Many more. The president's the only one who's noticing it. Millions of Middle Easterners have been murdered by these Bush, Clinton, Obama, ridiculous, endless, and needless wars. And that was what was so refreshing about Tulsi Gabbard at the Demon Rat debate. She recognizes that. She says ridiculous and endless wars. She doesn't like Donald Trump for her other, whatever her other mysterious, you know, reasons are as a liberal. But she's right on one point. She has some integrity on one point. And she is a real burr under the saddle of the Demon Rats. Let's hope she makes it to the November, what was the date? I don't remember. It was November 20th, I think, debate. Let's hope Tulsi Gabbard makes it into that debate. They'll do everything they can to offload her and get her out of the debate. Let's see. Let's go to the, let me look at my caller board here. I don't see any calls right now. And, but you're welcome to call at 800-313-9443. We actually, we don't have enough time. But I really enjoyed talking with Mike, a real gentleman, knew more than I knew tonight. And you out there, thank you very much. I'm humbled to be able to do a radio show for you. I try my hardest. I try to make it inspiring. That's the main thing I want. I want my show. I want you to feel better right now than you felt 60 minutes ago when you tuned in this show. If I've made you feel crappier, then I have failed. And get me off the air. But if you feel better right now, hey, we did something good together. And let's keep doing it. We'll meet up again Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of the Trump phenomenon. And, yeah, I'm just peeling myself off the ceiling here. I don't have any, I'm looking for some little gem here from the president, but I don't see anything right now. We didn't even really get to Breitbart, and you can't keep up with this man. 1 hour, not enough. He is a phenomenon. And it's all going really well, folks. The Demon Rats are, you know, it's wonderful to see how badly the Demon Rats are coming unglued and how miraculous it is that Donald Trump is in the middle of all this hell that he's in. Donald Trump is standing tall. How is it happening? I'll tell you what, Robert Jeffers, Jerry Falwell Jr., and Franklin Graham, they have an explanation. Maybe they're onto something. We'll be right back. We'll be right back on Sunday. See you then.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.